Welcome back to another episode of the Inside the Distance podcast. I'm your host, GK, the Fight Analyst, and here with me is a very special guest, UFC lightweight Mike Beast Boy Davis. What's up, man? How's it going?
Everything's going well. Thank you for having me on the show.
No, thank you for coming, man, on short notice like this. But before we get into anything, this podcast and all other podcasts are sponsored by Manscaped. Guys, head over there for some of the best grooming products on, you know, on the planet Earth here. Keep your junk feeling fresh and smelling great. Use our promo code TFTA20 for 20% off and free shipping. How's it going? What's new in your life, and you know, after all of the commodity that happened like a month ago, but like, what's going on? What's new? I see you training down here in South Florida. How's it all going?
Yes, so well. I've made the transition to be a 155-pound fighter, and I've been working with some of my strength and conditioning coaches and some of the nutritionists. So we're changing up everything now, and hopefully to be ready by the end of August. We're going to put my name in a couple weeks here. We're just fine-tuning a few things, and honestly, I feel better shape than I've ever been in my life.
Man. I've been following you on Instagram, and you look like a whole different person out there, man. You look massive, looking incredible shape. I see you doing some crazy workouts with Phil DeRue over there. It's just crazy, man. You're looking good. You look healthy. And I think lightweight's going to be, a great fit for you. What do you think?
I think so too. I was discussing, and I feel it too. When I was making the cut to 45, I was always trying to keep my weight lower than normal, and when I was sparring or grappling, moving around, I can feel the difference in not being strong or not having the explosiveness to be able to get out of something or do something. But now I am unmatched. I'm in the top like three of the gym. I feel I'm not being like blowing my head up or anything. It's just how I see and what I feel goes through the gym.
Well, it's great to hear, especially now that you moved down here to South Florida to American Top Team, like full time, right? And like, how has it been training with some of like the elite of the elite?
It allows me to show and feel like how I am compared to them people. Like going with Dustin Poirier and Jorge Masvidal and who do we got? We got Moicano, Marlon Morales. We got everybody there. So yeah. To go with all these people and to know that I'm here where I belong. Like the UFC is the place for me, and not even just a UFC. I feel like I belong in the top 10, top five, but I'm going to enjoy my process and climb up there.
Absolutely, man. You know, one step at a time is usually, you know, the best way to go. But it's exciting, you know. What was your thoughts on like the whole process of what happened, you know, in Jacksonville and, you know, to where you are now?
It kind of opened my eyes when this whole pandemic kind of came into play. It put a big pause on my life, and I failed to follow my old regimens. I gained a lot of weight. I wasn't as healthy as before. I definitely gained some fat, and getting it off was a little difficult, and I wasn't prepared for that, especially in 2 weeks. I was not prepared. So with that, kind of opened my eyes as a chance to take the advice and move up to 155. I never wanted to because I always felt like I was the bigger 145er, probably the biggest 145er. So now that I'm 55, I'm just like your average common 55er. But that's okay.
Definitely true. It's okay when you're knocking them out as well. You know that's all you need, really. But like now training down here, I saw you getting, you know, Dustin Poirier ready for that absolute war that he put on with Dan Hooker and Luis Pena. I see you helping them get ready. How was that whole process? And, you know, knowing that you get to help these guys get ready for war in just a couple of days time.
I like knowing that when my teammate goes out there and performs the way they do, that I was able to be, even if it was just like a rag doll or so, that I was able to help. I was able to be of support and help them achieve their goals and their dreams, just like I'm trying to achieve my goals and dreams. To sit in the sauna with like Poirier for he wanted to get out, but we're just sitting there talking. 30 minutes goes by, his weight's going down, he's feeling good. So that's always a fun part, to know that you're a part of the background and helping people achieve stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, like, what were your thoughts watching that epic fight, man? That was epic.
Yeah, that was definitely fight of the year. But man, I was watching that one close too. I think Dustin started a little slow, but when he found like his place, his movement, and he matched up with it, he became just the dominator for the next three rounds. I think the first two were iffy. And then after that, it was all clearly Dustin.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy. I don't know how he was able to take the shots that he did in that fight and just kept moving forward. And eventually, oh, it's crazy, man. I don't know. He just looked like the Terminator out there. Just nothing could.
They both did. For them both to go that way, man, that was definitely fight of the year.
That's gonna go down
so far. We're halfway through.
That's true. We got a lot of fights coming up. Like it's crazy how many fights are coming up. What fight are you looking for the most coming up on, you know, Fight Island and all the fights coming up in August and all that?
The Burns fight. I'm excited for that one because everybody has Usman to win, being the clear. Like the visual more dominant fighter. He just looks more aggressive. He's more explosive. He's more well-toned in the fight world, not just like physically. But I think Gilbert Burns might take that one. And I'm going to go with that based on his striking isn't bad. It's good. And even if he matches or even outdoes Usman, Usman's going to resort to wrestling. He's going to get Burns down, and being a three-time world champion, Burns is going to succeed on the ground. So he doesn't really have a choice but to stand up. And I also want to give him the benefit because he beat me, and he gets that little extra. He gets that little extra nudge up. So
that's true. No, that's true, man. I mean, I've been a Burns fan for, you know, a very long time, and I thought he would get to this point, but it's just crazy the rise. For him to get there, it's a crazy, crazy fun matchup. I think I've been riding the Burns train since forever that he's been in here, so I'll probably have to stick with him here. But man, that's a great fight. Let's actually dig deeper into the matchups, if you don't mind.
Yeah, it's good.
Who do you like in the bantamweight title fight between Peter Yan and Jose Aldo?
So with Jose Aldo, I feel like the same thing happened with Anderson Silva when he broke his leg. When Jose Aldo got knocked out by Conor McGregor, it was like it slowed him down. His whole outlook on fighting changed. He came into the next fight slower, more kind of like tight, and less himself. So he's not the same fighter as he used to be, that warrior that would come in and drop people with leg kicks and whatnot. He doesn't do any of that stuff anymore. But Peter Yan, he's a workhorse and he's aggressive. So I think Peter takes that one. And I think he takes it within like the first round.
Really? You think he just comes in and just puts him away?
I think he's gonna be too aggressive for Jose Aldo.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I thought Aldo was actually a lot bigger than Yan, but he's really not. They're both about the same size, which is kind of, you know, crazy. Didn't think, I don't know. But that's a crazy fight. I don't know. I don't know who's winning that fight. It's gonna be really close. But what do you think about the featherweight fight between Max Holloway and Alexander Volkanovski, too?
So Max hasn't fought since Volkanovski. Neither of them have fought yet. And they get an immediate rematch, which it went to decision. So I do agree with that immediate rematch. It wasn't a clear victory. It wasn't a knockout or a finish. So I do give the rematch. I like that. Max Holloway was my idol growing up. Getting into MMA, he was he's someone that I thought I wanted to be like, someone I wanted to fight like and move like. He's definitely a face of MMA when you look into it, character-wise and fight-wise. And then you have Alexander Volkanovski, who has finished, or not finished, but fought him already once and outworked him. So I want to see what Max Holloway has changed for the rematch. I want to see him switch it up and stop trying to bite down on his mouthpiece and strike and start utilizing wrestling, maybe get some takedowns, work a little mix in there, get Volkanovski tired. Otherwise, I think Volkanovski still takes the second one.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I didn't notice that Holloway just doesn't check leg kicks. So it's one thing. Do you think a fighter, like being a fighter, when you know something, you know, like that is the reason why you lost your last fight, do you think going in, oh, I really need to, you know, soul up that defense? Do you 100%. Think he went in and did that?
I hope he did that, as that's what I did.
Because, I mean, he took – his legs took a beating. Yeah. I've never seen him take a beating like that before. You talk about he absorbed 75 leg kicks in that fight, so that was kind of crazy.
Oh, wow. I didn't know it was that number.
Yeah, he threw almost 100 leg kicks. Like, if I went to the numbers, I looked at the tape, and he literally just threw leg kick after leg kick. He averaged almost 20 leg – about 20 leg kicks – around he threw.
Damn. Yeah. So I hope Holloway has definitely looked into that. Help his coaches are being their coaches and doing what they're supposed to do, making the adjustments to beat a guy who you just fought and you're getting an immediate rematch. So you need to be working on the things that you failed in the last time.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just wondering how, you know, the COVID is really put a damper on either one of their, you know, training during this time, but it's going to be an interesting fight. I mean, if you were a betting man, since this is a MMA betting podcast, who would you be laying like big money on in these three fights? If you could be sure on at least one of these three fights, who would be sure to win?
I'm pretty sure Gilbert's going to come as the underdog and I'll put money on Gilbert.
You'll put money on Gilbert?
I would put money on Gilbert. I would put money on Peter.
Peter in round one, that sounds very enticing. I think that's like a lot of money you could win there if you actually hit that. I mean, it could essentially happen. It's a gamble, but I think it's like probably close to 10 to 1 odds or something crazy like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. So
I also have Rose. I know she's not one of the mains, but I have her coming back. Yeah. I have her being able to study her mistakes as well, and then probably keep her distance and not get so compact with Jessica this time.
What did you think of their first fight? Did you think Rose was running away with it until the slam, or was it competitive?
It was competitive.
Because, like, from what
I've seen, yeah, it was definitely competitive.
A lot of people were just, from what I've seen, were saying that Rose was literally running away with the fight in the first, you know, for however long it lasted until the slam, because she was landing at will.
Yeah, I want to see her. I want to see her win.
I definitely think she can. I mean, she uses her striking a lot better. On Andrade just looks too
every time she gets a little better and better. So I'm definitely excited to see her improvements.
Yeah, that's gonna be a good one. I mean, so what's the plans looking like for the future Mike Davis in UFC?
Future. I want to climb the ladder step by step at 155. I actually do want to go back to 45, but for now, I have to stay at 55. Honestly, I want to test out 55 because all my fights so far have been 55. I'm 1-1. I feel good, especially if I'm given a camp. I feel like I would be so much better of a fighter. But, I mean, with this COVID thing going on, a camp really isn't something everyone's getting. So I'm staying in shape and I'm ready. I'm literally ready. I can fight anytime right now. I feel great. But we're going to wait till in August. get some things squared away. And when that time comes around, I'm not looking to jump. I don't want people or my management to take me and try to throw me up to the top 20, top 30 people. I want to climb the ladder and enjoy my time here. I don't want to be pushed against people I'm necessarily with a 2-week camp not ready for.
No, that's great to hear. I mean, there's some fighters that are out there. They're willing to, you know, fight anybody at this point because they're just, you know, with COVID going on, they really want to fight. They're willing to go in there against whoever and just to, you know, just get in there and fight. I mean, granted, it's worked for some, but it hasn't worked for a lot of others. So, I mean, kudos to you to actually, you know, stay true to doing that.
Yeah.
Is there anyone that you kind of eye that you would want to fight that's kind of in your, you know, same like record and that?
No, I don't care about the record. I just care about the matchup.
So you want to stay in the bang is what you want?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me. I can fight a wrestler. It's fine. I'm a wrestler too. I can fight a boxer or a striker. I'm a boxer. I do Muay Thai. I'm really good at Muay Thai. So this is just fun. Every single person that I'm offered, I never look at their fights. I never do anything. My coaches do that and they have me work specific things, but I just don't, because then it gets in my head that I have to do this and he's going to do this to me or he's going to try this to me. And then I'm just like, it makes me antsy and I don't want to act or feel that way. So I just, I go in there, whoever they put in front of me, just go.
That's great. I mean, because it's better not to overthink it. So you, because, you know, from an analyst perspective, I watch a ton of tape, you know, on fighters. And, and so you don't do any of that. You leave it to your coaches just to, and you just worry about focusing on, you know, getting ready.
Yep. I just want to be in the best shape I can be in, show up in that cage, let my coaches tell me what I got to do, where I have to do it.
That's right. I
like that actually. I don't want to be, I mean, I can go without coaches. I don't want to be like Mike Perry, but I mean, truly, all of us fighters can go in that cage without a coach. All of us can. We are technical. We are knowledge to the point where either any single one of us can go in that cage without a coach and fight the same way we would with the coach.
That's true. But I mean, you guys have been doing it for so long.
And coaches do have a little outside look in, so they can see if I didn't see him like stutter or get rocked, but my coach saw it, then they'll tell us like, turn it up a little bit and whatnot. Those little small details will help us win fights.
Yeah. That's why they're there, you know, extra set of eyes and also that pep talk, right. That, you know, help you go, you know,
that too. Like your coaches have to know what to tell you. You can't go in the corner and tell you to, this kid's outstriking you. So you gotta just bite down and swing harder or faster. You gotta have proper coaches.
Yeah. And I don't think Perry was really getting that, which is kind of why
you're doing great. No, he did good. He honestly looked really good in that fight.
He was like, I swear, he fought smarter without a coach.
Yes.
Than he did with a coach. It was a crazy thing. I swear. Yes. But Dean Thomas has said he's looking to help Perry grow. So I think he should give him a call and I think he would do well with him.
I think there was talk of him coming down here.
Really?
Yeah. There was something posted on Twitter where Dan was talking to him and we got the announcement that he was coming, making the move down.
Oh, wow. That would be great for him.
Oh, my God. It would be so good for him.
He's got all the physical attributes that you can ask for in his frame. And he's fought some of the best at 170 pounds. So getting the right coaching and the right training partners, he could be an absolute monster. But
I'd like to see that.
Yeah. But yeah, man, I mean, I'm just looking forward to everything in store. I'm just going to wrap this up a little bit. And I appreciate you coming on for this, you know, short little episode of Inside the Distance. I really hope you come back. I would love you to come back on and actually break down a full fight card with me, myself,
and
my co-host, Aaron J. It just, my man Dave is asking, do you think Perry would fit in that American Top Team?
as long as that ego is set aside, because the people at American Top Team are a whole different breed. They, when I came down here, I thought I was in great shape and I thought I was a good fighter, but they really showed me that I was not. So I've been here for what, like 8 months, I think. And in that 8 months, I kid you not, I am 5 times better than I was when I showed up here. 5 times, maybe 6 times.
Who gives you the most work?
The most work?
Yeah, like who gives you the most troubles inside the gym?
Moicano.
All the people. Moicano.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Moicano. Everyone else, I can get clear advantages, all takedowns, whatever I want, pretty much. But Moicano is just, he's a different monster. Oh, Dave came down with me. I saw that message pop up. Yeah, Dave was down there. We were doing, what was it called? The day, Dave of the Beast or something. Starting a little day one of the Beast life.
Oh, nice.
It was fun. It was fun to have him there. I do miss Dave. I don't get up there enough, so I got to visit sushi, definitely, with Dave. This is always the best. You get to talk and have fun.
That's good, man. What's life like going down here compared to up in North Florida?
So in North Florida, I mean, that's where I knew people. So I was able to hang out a bit more and have like more of a social life. But here it's just training, and I do like to explore. So I do have my mountain bike. I go over to the Everglades and hit like Markham Trail. And I actually should be doing that tomorrow morning. But that's pretty much all I do here. Actually, my roommate, Paris, he's the person I fought for first as a pro for House of Fame. And we actually go out on the boat. We go fishing, deep sea fishing, or we just go to hang out. It's been a good life. It's less social, but it's more like relaxed. It's more mellow and lets me focus on my career, because this, I'm trying to do this forever. Well, not forever, but I'm trying to do this enough so I don't have to work again. And this lets me focus, because instead of going out and drinking and ruining my pathway.
Smart man. That's a way to go. Oh, we got some questions here. Chris is asking, what are your picks for Calvin Kattar and Dan Ige?
I'm going to go with Kattar. Yeah, Kattar by TKO, because I don't think Ige won the fight against Edson Barboza. I don't think he won that. I think he lost.
Me too.
I watched it. Okay. I mean, I train with Edson. Edson's a great guy. He's really, really good. And I watched that fight really closely. All the knockdown, everything that happened in that fight. I mean, Edson Barboza won that fight. And I was so surprised when they called his name. I was so surprised. I don't know what that was.
My pockets were very surprised as well, because I definitely lost on that. I lost like 4 decisions on that card that I was literally laughing at the end of it. I was getting delirious, because it's like, yeah, another decision.
I know that. Yes. Oh my God. I know that exact feeling.
Like, I had Chito Vera. I'm pretty sure he definitely beat Song Yadong in that fight.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Yep. Lost that one. Darren Elkins fight against Nate Landwehr. I think that was a very close fight. He landed more. I actually don't know how he lost. I'm just like, yeah, I guess he shrugged them off. It was just one of those nights.
Yeah, it really was.
Another question here. How does it feel knowing you ruined Griffith's chin? He got knocked out by a 41-year-old a few months ago.
That guy he fought was 41? No way.
I guess so.
Oh, my God. When it comes to Thomas Gifford, that man is tough. Especially, he had a full camp when he fought me. He was prepared for a war with Brock. Then I wasn't surprised. And Brock's stronger. Well, Brock's bigger than me. Probably hits harder than me. I'm not sure. But it is just his recovery time was not enough. It really wasn't. He needed to stay out of MMA or out of a fight for, I honestly, I would say like 4 to 6 months after a fight like that. That's a lot of trauma to the head. You need to recover. And he did not. He jumped right back in, and without being recovered, he got knocked out in the first round, in the first minute.
That's crazy. And supposedly it was a 41-year-old too on top of it. That's crazy. Yeah.
It's bizarre.
But that was a war though. Like, what was your thoughts while fighting, knowing this guy is literally out on his feet, but they're just not calling it?
I can't stop. So I just keep going. I literally just keep going. I don't care if I'm hitting you. I don't care if it hurts or it doesn't hurt. As long as I'm the one connecting and I'm not being beat up, that's all I'm going to keep doing until the referee stops me.
Yeah, I mean, that was
You get a tunnel vision when you're in the cage. All you see is the guy that's trying to literally kill you. The guy that's trying to kill you, and then you hear only your coaches, their coaches, and the guy, the closest people to you. That's it. It's
so when you say that, so like if you were to fight right now with no audience, that should be totally fine for you because you pretty much drown out everything else.
Drown it all out. And it'd be even better because now I'll be able to hear their coaches super clear. So if I hear them say some weird stuff like go to Denver, which I heard in Thomas Gifford's fight, I obviously knew that meant shoot for a takedown. So I'm able to catch up on that real fast. And to be able to hear it clear, I'll be able to do that better in a fight.
Oh, so you think it would be more of an advantage now?
It'd be an advantage.
Yeah. That's good. That's interesting because I'm not sure how these fighters are going in knowing that, there's no fans around. I don't know if they're taking into account like, oh, they can hear our coaches, but that's why I can hear theirs. But
yeah, you gotta think about
it. Very interesting. I appreciate your time here. I think we're pretty much wrapping this bad boy up. Hopefully you can come on again soon and definitely break down a card with us.
Hopefully I will have fought by then as well, so that would be fun. Yes. Too. Yeah.
Man, I would love to get you on before and after that fight. Yeah. As well, so cool. We'll definitely be cashing in on some bets on you very, very soon. Dave is asking one more question before we head out. He's asking, would you bet on Paige VanZant over Amanda Ribas at +600 odds?
Holy crap, no.
Man, that's crazy. She's literally like Ronda Rousey line.
No,
right there.
I talked about this before. Paige VanZant has huge Instagram following now. She's got Dancing with the Stars. She even announced before that she was making more money doing her Instagram stuff than she is in the UFC. Well, and Amanda Ribas has all the opportunity right now to retire Paige VanZant. She beats Paige VanZant, I guarantee, I almost promise that Paige VanZant won't take another fight. She's done. Really? If she loses. She has no reason to come back. She's making plenty of money.
That's true.
She's fine. She doesn't not have to go to Bellator anymore.
You don't think she'll go to Bellator if she were to get released?
I don't think she needs to.
No, I don't think. Yeah, unless they throw a boatload of money at her, which they could possibly.
They could. She is like a pretty face to have fighting. So if that's. That's the moneymaker right there. And she got on a main card after being gone forever.
That's right. That's how much of a pull she really is.
Yeah.
Dave said she will not be released. Her contract is up already. Same thing. But
who's talking about being on the, is she the one talking about being on the same contract?
I'm not sure. Paige dropped all of her sponsors and things to focus on her camp.
Oh,
I don't think that's really going to do much, to be honest.
I don't think it's going to help her at all.
No. I mean, Amanda Ribas is, she's still fairly new, but she's really good from what we've seen. There any other fight you're eyeing before we go that you possibly would lay some money on? at UFC 251?
251? No, no. Nope.
Yeah, I'm mainly focusing on the top three title fights. Those are probably the best. I think Volkan Mir might be a really good bet as well over the newcomer. But it's a lot of slim pickings. Ramon is asking, who do you want to fight next?
I do not have any names. I just want someone. I'm ranked like in the 90s, I think. And I want someone that's ranked in like the 80s. I just want a nice ladder. 80s, 70s, 60s, 50s. There's there's no way that I want to skip up that ladder. I do not want to go and fight someone who's in top 40 or top 30 right now. I can't, of course, 100%. 100%, I feel like I could step in the cage and I train with Dustin. So to have that skill level, he's top three. I have 100%. If he's taking top three people, I can fight in the top five and feel and look and probably even win. I don't want to do it. I want a nice slow climb.
So you're looking three to four fights a year kind of thing? Just gradually increase?
Yep. That's perfect.
That sounds good. Mike versus
now that way you guys will get to see me fight even more as well.
Yeah, it sucks because I definitely was looking forward to you fighting Giga Jakadze. That would have been a perfect fight for you because he's willing to stand and bang, and you could probably take his lights out. So that would have been a great fight. I was betting heavy on you, like was slamming you with all my money. I was going in there, and then I'm like, I was like crying tear. But yeah, same management group.
Burgos. Is that Emmett?
Burgos.
Burgos fights just like I do, and he looks like me too. Is that so weird? And like he's huge. He's huge, just like I am. It's like we're the same person.
6 foot. Well, I 145. Yeah, you guys are huge. What did you think of that fight though? That was a crazy fight.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Emmett was putting it on. I saw a lot of Burgos's punch taking abilities. He turns his head last second like most boxers do. It was a boxing thing. And it definitely played off for him not getting knocked out. But when you see the parts that where he failed to do so, he got knocked down a couple times.
It was crazy, but like he tore his ACL in the first and he was able to just keep on trucking.
You can't feel anything in the fight. You'll feel nothing. Nothing until you get out of the cage.
So it's just adrenaline at that point.
It's like taking over. Your body is pure adrenaline until you get out of the cage.
That's insane. I don't even know how he was able to stand
not for it. I mean, you'll feel leg kicks, but as you see when I fought Yusuf, my leg probably gave like the end of the first round. That's when you see me buckle, and I fought all the way through to the end of all three rounds, and then it didn't hurt even walking out of the cage. Like you see, I walked out of the cage fine, walked backstage, but once I sat down, I could not get back up.
Really?
And that's when my adrenaline started to slow down. When I just sat down, I was breathing, and my adrenaline started to just flow out. I felt so much pain. So much pain when I was riding in that ambulance. Every bump he took, I was like, bro, avoid the bumps. They're so bad.
What you tore something in that fight, right?
I fractured my condyle and then the tibial plateau on the left leg.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I was out. I healed honestly super fast. I was like a month and a half, and I was walking around and being normal. I wasn't training, but I was walking without crutches and whatnot.
And that was just a three round war with arguably probably the best contender series fight ever and will ever be. Like if we have a contender series Hall of Fame, that's probably the best fight of the entire series.
I'm gonna give him that too. He's climbing up. He's gonna be a champion. I think he has what it takes to be a champion because I think I have what it takes to be a champion. So I definitely feel like he'll if anything, if it was to play out and I still fight at 145, he'll get to the belt, beat Volkanovski, because they're kind of similar. They're honestly very, very similar. If he beats Volkanovski, and then I can make my way back up there and have that rematch with him, take the belt from him, because that would be a pleasure to me.
That would be crazy. That's actually a crazy scenario if you get that done, if that happens. I mean, he does definitely have a very, very good chance, though. He's looking great. I mean, yes. But
doing really well.
It was Yusuf top 15. Yeah, I think he's going to be top 15. Yusuf. And
yeah, I agree with Aaron. Yeah. We both improved so much from that fight. That fight, before I fought Yusuf, I was just taking fights. And I didn't care who it was. I didn't train. I trained, obviously. But I didn't study my opponents. I didn't do anything. I just showed up the night of the fight and did whatever I could do. And that's how I fought. That's it. It worked for me. I went 23 wins, no losses, and then I fought him. And his coaches, he's with a gym that has UFC fighters, a gym that's used to this, a gym that has fighters going into this all the time. So their coaching ability to tag on my lead leg the way that I sit on it was something that I needed to do, something that I needed coaches to do that I haven't had the chance to have. And now that I do, I feel like I've improved tremendously. Like, that fight opened my eyes. That's why I moved down here.
Sky's the limit, man. Sky is the limit, especially down here. I think America Top Team, obviously well known around the entire world, one of the best gyms out there, best teammates out there. Nothing but the best moving forward. That's a career changer. He said that's a career changer. Either you dig down or quit.
Yeah. After that fight, I mean, I moved away from the gym I was training at, just so I can get better training, more quality people, not taking anything away from where I was training, but I definitely needed top level people. So people that are fighting and training the way that Yusuf's training and fighting, because I was not getting that. So I definitely learned a lot from that loss and changed my way up. And then I had to fight. I mean, from then I have not lost to anyone that isn't championship level. Yusuf's championship level. Gilbert is a champion. He'll be a champion in a week and a half. So those are my only two losses, and those ever in any kind of sport. So yeah. So I think that having that knowledge and seeing if when Gilbert wins this fight, say he does win this fight, that just proves that I'm a high caliber. I feel great about that. I feel honestly tremendous about that.
Yeah, man. I mean, you took that fight on short notice too. What, about a week?
Yeah.
You know, yes. Just coming off a fight as well. So to be able to go out there and fight against, you know, now the number one contender of the welterweight division, I think that shows a lot of grit and toughness. And you know, we all want to see you back in there very, very soon. Need it. Our pockets need it as well. But yeah, let's wrap this bad boy up. If anybody got any more questions, you can leave them there and we'll get back to them. But thank you for coming on, man. Had a blast talking with you and breaking down some of these fights and your thoughts. We definitely want you back on very, very soon. Hopefully in a week or two, we get in there and break down some fights. But yeah, do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on social media? And shout out any sponsors that you might have.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. So Anastil Nutrition, mostly. They cover all my supplements. Wicked Guts does my hair. Those are honestly the only – oh, Flamingo. Mango Wear. So they're not very up there yet, but they treat me like family already, and I barely know them. So there's Five Bananas as well, of course. You know, I can't leave them out. Social media is Mike Davis MMA for Twitter and Instagram. I do respond to every single person who messages me. Just sometimes it takes a little bit, but I will get back to you. I did make a Snapchat. It's Beast Boy MMA. If you want to Check that out. That's where I post like the more frequent me at the pool, me take like stuff I can't really post on Instagram will probably go to my Snapchat. Like some slight small clips from sparring, those stuff, those are in my Snapchat. So, and shout out to my mom. That's Wendy. Love you too.
Mama Davis.
Yeah.
I'm a beast boy. All right. Thank you for coming on, man. We will be back with you soon, guys. You can follow me at Fight Analyst on Twitter and The Fight Analyst on Facebook.
Let me throw one more out. Terp House. Yes. They've been supplying me with CBD and as many as I need it, but I use their cream for my legs. My legs are shot every day. And that's literally, I use almost a whole bottle and they're resupplying it over and over again. So I definitely thank them, Terp House.
Absolutely, man. Terp House, go over there and get some of the best CBD products out there for all fighters. With that said, you guys can, I'll see you guys next week. If you guys want some of my fight packages, go to thefightanalyst.com to get on board and cash these bets with us. With that said, we will talk to you guys later. We are out of here. Later.
See ya.
Adios.